Welcome back and thank you for listening. And I'm going to start off by having these ladies introduce themselves. Could you give us your name?
I'm Sherilyn Eveleth, Mrs. Eveleth, and I teach fifth grade here at St. Francis Catholic School.
I'm Monica Cruz, and I teach music, and I am the ELL teacher as well.
English language learner. Okay.
Yes.
All right. ELL. That's very cool. So you do deal with a lot of different languages in Marshalltown, and that's probably quite a big challenge as part of your job.
It's getting more so every year. We're seeing a lot more diversity and a lot more languages being introduced into our school system.
Yeah. That's a whole nother podcast, I think, but and actually one I'd love to do at some point. We're here to talk about your fundraiser that you're going to be doing. Tell us a little bit about that and how it came to it.
Well, both Monica and I have Lyme disease, had been diagnosed with Lyme disease, and May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month. And we've both been thinking for a long time, how can we help other families and other people learn about this disease, because it's going to become more and more prevalent. And we thought, shedding the light on Lyme. And that became our theme. It's kind of a play on words, light as in more information, more awareness. Also light in the fact that Jesus and the other people around us help bring us through some difficult times. And Lyme disease is definitely a challenge. That event is going to be May 10th. It's on a Thursday night, and it's from 6 to 7:30. Come and go here at our school, at St. Francis Catholic School in the gym. So we just kind of went from there with shedding the light on Lyme and formed a, we're like, oh, a light supper. So we're having a light supper here, a silent auction with various items, and then concerts that will be provided by Marshalltown Men's Chorus, and also some St. Francis students that Mrs. Cruz, Monica, works with here for music. And then also we sing in a gospel group called Five for One. So,
oh, fun.
And all of the proceeds that we raise from that evening will go to Lyme disease research in hopes to find a cure.
Okay. And so are you working with doctors that you have worked with, or is there a particular organization that the money is going to be going to?
I think we've decided that the monies are going to go directly towards a research organization, not to any specific doctor or any facility that we've actually worked with. So it's much bigger than that. To go with a larger organization, hopefully then we can reach more people.
Okay.
And the more we talk, just to piggyback off of what Sherilyn said, the more that we have talked about our disease, and we've given some talks and presentations to some civic organizations and church organizations, it's amazing how many people come up to us and say, oh, my cousin twice removed, or my aunt's brother, you know, has Lyme's disease, or will come forth with some symptoms, and, you know, we're by no means diagnosing anyone, but encouraging people to go get tested and being aware of what the appropriate testing is.
Because this is, from what I understand, it's very limited what I understand about the disease, it is sort of a syndrome situation where it's a culmination, or is there a particular test that can definitely diagnose?
That's one of the issues, the struggles, I think, in the medical community, is there are some tests that, first of all, if they suspect Lyme disease, they'll ask you two things. Did you feel the tick bite you? And did you get the bullseye rash, which is like a target rash?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people that we've talked to, and both of us ourselves, never knew that we were bit by a tick, and we never got that, you know, telltale bullseye rash, and a lot of people we've talked to haven't. There is a screening test for Lyme disease that the doctors will put you through. Oftentimes, though, when you answer no to, you don't know you got bit by a tick, and no, you don't have the bullseye rash, then they'll, you know, Lyme disease is kind of in the background.
Mm.
But you go through the screening test. A lot of the times that screening test doesn't work. We both were positive, positive that we had Lyme disease, but the test came back negative. And so then we both went through some blood tests recommended by our doctors, and those confirmatory blood tests told us, yes, you do have Lyme disease. So it's an interesting procedure, but we went through it.
Lyme's disease can be misdiagnosed with so many other diseases: fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, MS, Parkinson's disease. Both of us have seen over 20 doctors before we were specifically diagnosed, and not that they didn't know, but on the same side, they didn't know. because they, you know, it's just exploded within the country of what's going on.
So that sounds like to get to a definitive diagnosis, you had to do a lot of elimination of diagnoses.
Yes.
So all of those other doctors that you saw, so you had to probably do testing for some of these other diseases
right.
that you mentioned.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
I was just going to say, to kind of piggyback on what you were saying about going through so many tests, that's a key to any, you know, diagnosis of a disease, and it definitely is true for Lyme disease. If the medical community can come out with a screening test that actually catches the people who have the disease, then the treatment would be far less and the cost would be far less. And so that's what we're hoping for. Raise awareness,
okay.
Let people know the truth about what we've been through, and hopefully those changes will come about.
Okay, so not just hopefully eventually a cure, but first and foremost, making it simpler to be diagnosed, less expensive, and quicker care is the goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I love that. That's a pretty good goal, I'd say. Tell me, each of you, how long you have been dealing with this disease, and, you know, how long ago would you say that you were finally diagnosed?
I started getting ill probably between 5 and 7 years ago, and not knowing what was going on, and started losing a lot of weight, no appetite, and frankly could not eat.
Mm-hmm.
Just very, very few things. And that's kind of how mine started. And Sherilyn actually became, she had the symptoms before I did. She was in the throngs of being severely ill, and then I became severely ill. She would seek out different places to go, different doctors, and I would follow suit. And I mean, it's kind of a what do you know, and here let me help you, and then what does somebody else know? You know, that's what it is right now. It's not. I mean, there's not a go-to, and so you know, and it's still. And I would say that for me, you have flare-ups. You have good days. You have not so good days. But it's still there in your body. Mm. I mean, you can't. It's not going to be gone.
Right.
That's the one thing. You know, because we were not diagnosed immediately. That's the thing. If you can catch it quick enough, and that's part of the reason why we're doing this too. There's so much better recovery rate and success of recovery if you're diagnosed early.
Okay. So a clarifying question then, is this considered a virus or is it an infection of a different kind?
No, it's definitely a bacterial infection.
Okay.
The bacterial infection though is different than most bacterial infections in that it multiplies so rapidly. And so again, it's so important to get a test at the beginning that really defines that, yes, you indeed have Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick, was feeling very, just like a fatigue and a muscle weakness all over my body. And I kept thinking, what is going on? And I kept going to doctor after doctor after doctor. And they kept saying, you know, all the tests show everything's okay. There must not be anything wrong. And I kept going to my husband and saying, there is something that is wrong. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness we had people, our family, our friends around us that listened and said, yes, we know there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick in about 2010. The most definitive, horrible symptom that I remember from the disease is it felt like all the time, every day, that somebody was taking a nail or pins and poking them all over my body. And it was horrible pain. And at that point, we realized, you know, we've got to pursue this rather quickly. And
right.
So, we hope for, by us speaking, more people can learn about the disease and know that it's real.
I can't imagine going through that. I mean, I know a lot of times people will have symptoms that they're dealing with and just kind of push it aside. Like maybe it's not something that's easily recognizable or right away recognizable. Or a doctor tells them, oh, you know, your tests are negative, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they just continue to suffer with it. And I know that it's a culmination of people like yourselves standing up for yourselves and saying, no, mm-hmm. we have to keep looking in order for things to really change. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing that you're willing and determined to pursue it. And I imagine that you know, lived your life as a fairly reasonably healthy mm-hmm. Adult person up until this point. So mm-hmm. That had to be quite a wake-up call to have such a change in how you were feeling and, mm-hmm. and going about your day and your life. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have any comments on that, I know that's a little bit of me just expounding on my...
No. Yeah, I agree. When I was in high school, I graduated and attended BCLUW all my years of schooling, and I was active in drama and music and theater and all kinds of sports. And you know, obviously then never even knew or even heard about Lyme disease. And then very healthy, runner, active. And then to have this disease come on was just like you ran into a brick wall and your life just stopped. And you do, you're right. You have to be an advocate for yourself. And we've learned that, you know, you can't give up when you know that there's something wrong, no matter how many doctors are saying, oh no, you're okay, that's okay. You have to say, no, you know, there's something going on. And so, I mean, that's our purpose here today with you and with the fundraiser, is the more people that we can get the word out to about Lyme disease and what we went through, we know we're going to reach some people, and hopefully the medical community will move forward and finding a better diagnostic test and also a cure. I mean, there needs to be a cure.
So, Monica, I want to talk to you a little bit about the entertainment aspect of your event coming up, because you did say that you played for the men's choir or men's chorus. So tell me a little bit more about your involvement with them and the choral group that you two are involved in.
Well, I've been playing for the Marshalltown Men's Chorus for the last 9 years, and great bunch of guys. So if anybody out there wants to come and join us, we practice on Monday night. So I'll put that little plug in. Larry Fons is a great director, and the guys are super to work with. And they've actually come and sung with some of the kids here at St. Francis on some of their programs. Okay. So I don't know who's gotten them more excited about that, the kids or the guys, because they're always like, are we coming back this year for a program?
Aww.
And I'm like, well, you know, let's see if we can get something organized. And so they're all pumped up to come, and they're going to do a couple songs with the kids, and then the kids are going to sing a couple songs with Five for One. And we've been in existence about 9-10 years, I guess, and mm-hmm. We do, I mean, like Sherilyn said, we're a gospel group, but we do a variety of music and private parties, and then the kids from St. Francis are going to do some songs. They just finished up their spring program, so they're going to do some songs from okay. that. And then we're also going to treat it as letting some of the kids do mm-hmm. some talent acts as well. So you might hear some silly jokes, and you might see some dance. You know, they're all getting ready for their dance recitals mm-hmm. and things like that. And then we got some kids doing some basketball maneuvers. And, you know, so it's just going to be a good family night to come out and enjoy some family time together, have a meal together, some sandwiches and, you know, cookies and things like that. And then our silent auction, that our staff, people that we work with, are absolutely super people. They've put together different baskets for the silent auction. There's an art basket, there's a gardening basket, there's things from doTERRA, there's things from Avon, there's a barbecue basket, which... pretty tasty for this time of year.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of some other things.
Game
bounce
nights,
house. Bounce house certificates, things like
Movie
that. So, yeah, just a variety of baskets to bid on, to come and just, and like I said, we're really a good family night to come out and just have some fun.
Okay. Tell us one more time, when, where, what time, all that.
Thursday, May 10th. From 6 to 7:30. It's a come and go. Don't have to stay the whole time. So come and hang out for a while, and then you can leave, or you can come later. And you know, there'll be entertainment going on, and we're in silent auction won't stop until about 7:25. It's here at St. Francis School.
Wear green if you can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And wear green if you can. So we're hoping we see a lot of people wearing green, and it's going to be in the gym. So and enter on the south side of the building. So there's a big parking lot between St. Henry's Church and St. Francis School.
All right, well, I want to thank both of you for doing this, first of all, and for taking a moment to tell us about it. And I'm glad that we're able to share that information with our listeners, and hopefully have a huge crowd and raise a bunch of money.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it. And yeah, come Thursday, May 10th,
yep.
Open to the community. Just come and go as you wish, and it'll be a great night.
Yes, thank you very much for having us.
Mm-hmm. Hey.